Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying, why not today? I'm your host, Leslie Kane, and each episode we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibilities of today. From entrepreneurs to artists to dreamers to doers, we explore the moments when they said, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative, whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy. Our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often did say, why not today? And remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And my guest I have on today is Beth Fraser. Is that pronounced right?
Yeah.
Okay. And we met years ago in networking circles and connected on Facebook, and I think got together one time a long time ago for coffee. Yes. And then reconnected recently and had lunch, and oh my gosh, we could have sat there for a day just sharing stories. And I just love being around like-minded people that have energy and enthusiasm, and you walk out so energized. But when we were talking about the podcast, she shared a courage story as a mother and mother's intuition. And so this episode is going to come out right around Mother's Day. And so I thought it was perfect around Mother's Day. And let's talk about moms and mother's intuition. It takes courage. Well, it takes courage just to be a mom, but it takes a lot of courage when your child has some illnesses. So we'll get into that in a minute. But Beth, why don't you introduce yourself a little about who you are and a fun fact, which I know you said you had something fun, so I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, so I'm Beth Fraser, and as Leslie said, I'm a mom of two beautiful girls who keep me on my toes. They are now ninth grade and eighth grade, so that also means I'm a wife to my amazing husband, Doug. And I guess prior to that whole life, I was an educator and I coached female athletes for 23 Wow. years. So when I became a mom, I left the teaching world and entered the entrepreneur world. And really kind of took a deeper dive into my own health. And now I'm a certified nutrition coach, and I help other women, mostly women. I do work with men, you know, help them do life better and put their oxygen mask on, because I believe so fully that we need to put ourselves first at times, as hard as that is for women, because we want to help everybody else first. So
yeah.
Fun fact about me, when I was in my 20s, I did a lot of volunteer work with Habitat for Humanity. And one of the trips I took was over spring break to blitz build houses in a neighborhood down in Americus, Georgia. So the entire neighborhood is all Habitat for Humanity houses. And we blitz built them, which means you put them up start to finish in a week.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, similar to like the cookie cutter houses up here, everything comes kind of prefabbed and you're just putting them on the house and whatnot. And it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, and contractors come and, you know, all sorts of people. And two of the houses were getting special roofs from a company called Monair Tile, which was located out in California. And they're those gorgeous red clay roofing tiles. Mm-hmm. And what was happening is those tiles were not curing quick. They didn't cure fast enough before they started putting them on the roofs. And so the roofing guys who came from an air tile to put those on those two houses, the weight of them was too heavy and they kept cracking the tiles.
Oh no.
So I was staying with the contractors in the contract volunteer house with my girlfriend, and they asked us, because we were tiny, if we would be willing to get up on the roof and fix the tiles. So after working a full day of construction, she and I got up on these roofs of these houses and learned how to pull the tiles out and replace them. And these tiles weighed like 20 or 25 pounds. So not light at all. It was very manual, heavy labor. And while we were up there, they took our picture and put it in one of the roofing magazines for, you know, the experience of working on a roof.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of a fun story.
That is a fun story.
Totally random.
Yeah, that is really cool. Love that. All right. So Miss Beth, what does courage mean to you?
I think for me, courage honestly means like staring the answer no in the face, knowing that you can't take that answer, and fighting beyond, finding a way to get around that answer.
Love that.
Fighting for it. So.
Right. That's a little different than a lot of them. And I love that. Everybody's a little different. And that's why I asked that question. So.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. So let's talk about courage as a mom.
Okay.
So share your story. And I know we're past it. And your daughter, Olivia, is doing great. And how old is she?
She's 15.
15. Okay. Yeah. So share. And I know it took courage for you to fight. And your courage definition is perfect. You know, hearing no, not in that answer. So share your story.
So there's a lot of, you know, God winks that happened along the way as well, which, you know, looking back, I just feel really blessed. And I believe that there are angels on earth who are unexpectedly placed in your life for some reason. And you don't know until you know, until it something
I
happens.
So believe, and I often share, and I don't have it on today, but I often wear a starfish.
Okay.
Have I told you that story? I share it probably on almost every episode because it ties back. The story of the starfish, this guy was walking down the beach, picking up starfish, throwing them in the water.
God, Leslie. I know. Throwing them back in.
And the guy's like, what are you doing? I'm saving the starfish. And he goes, thousands. How will you make a difference? And he took one and threw it in the ocean and say, he's like, I saved that one. And so I use that as my life motto is you just never know who that person's going to be in your life for that reason or that season or, you know, just, and being open and aware to the people you meet, because you just never know who that person's going to be. And I, as you said, I use the word God wink all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just never know. And it's funny, yesterday I was went took my dog for a walk. There was a couple sitting there, commented on the dog. We started talking. She's a dog trainer. Just as nice as can be. And we communicated afterwards. She's like, I like your vibe. I'm like, I did. Like, let's be friends, you know? And you just never know who those people are in your path, but you got to be aware and open.
Yep, 100%. You have to be open. You're
looking for them.
Yeah.
To say, oh, there's surprises coming. All right. So I just derailed your story very quickly. Well, go ahead.
It's okay because you said starfish and I knew that's exactly what you were going to say. And it is one of my favorite stories. So another connection you and I have, if I were to name my team for ID Life, it would be called Team Starfish because of that story. So cool stuff. Yes. Okay. So back in the summer of 2021, so still kind of in COVID, you know, things were, had just started opening up. My daughter at the time was playing travel soccer. She still does. And she had come out of a soccer training and said to me, she was so mad. Like, this is the kid who skips through life. She's always happy. And she was so mad to the point of tears. And I said to her, Olivia, what is wrong? And she's like, I can't run. And, you know, being the tough mom that I can be sometimes, we had just come off of a 2-week vacation where she didn't do any exercising. And I was like, well, do you think it's because you just took a 2-week break? And she's like, no, mom, I can't run. And because I didn't see it, I didn't really understand what she was talking about. And a couple of days later, we showed up at a teenage girl. Yeah, well, and
everything's dramatic.
Yes, at the time she was 12. Mm-hmm. So yes, fully on hormonal, et cetera, over-exaggerating. Exactly. So I didn't really think much of it, but then a couple of days later, I was watching her at practice and it was like watching this. Now I swear to God, she came out of me kicking a soccer ball. Like she's been playing since she was 3.5. So she's extremely coordinated, very fast, just really good with anything athletic. And I'm watching her on the soccer field and she looks like a baby giraffe who just came out of their mother's womb, who has no idea how to use their legs.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, oh, I want to reuse a cuss word right now, but I'm not. Oh, crap. This isn't right. And I was standing next to another mom and I'm like, look at her, look at her, look at her. And she's like, oh yeah, this happened to my son when he had a massive growth spurt. And that was another thing. She had just grown like 4 inches. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's that. Yeah, sure. Maybe it's that. And she comes out of that practice and is like, I'm really frustrated. And my gut inside is like, something's wrong, but I didn't know what, and I didn't know how to fix it. So we just kept doing life. Oh, and prior to that, by the way, she was bit by a tick 3 weeks before all of this happened.
Wow.
And no bullseye, which I learned, bullseyes only happen on 25% of cases of Lymes.
Right. So and where we live is the highest percentage of Lymes.
Correct.
In the country.
And we got the tick out and we got it out quickly, but I didn't pursue that because I was like, oh, well, there's no bullseye. Like, what do I need to know? Well, then this happened. And so my mom instinct was like, maybe it's Lymes. So we went to we went the holistic approach and I found a Lyme literate doctor who's a regular Western medicine doctor, but also has the whole functional medical practitioner piece. And right. we went down that holistic route for about a month. None of our tests came back showing Lyme. None of them came back showing any of the other diseases that Lymes carry. So we're doing all these tinctures and pills and all this random, really disgusting tasting stuff. But she's like, I want to feel better. I'll do whatever it takes. So we did that for about a month. So now we're like mid-August and we're seeing no change. In fact, if anything, it's starting to get a little bit worse. And you know, when you live with someone on a daily basis, you don't notice it.
Right.
As much. And it's summertime. So she's wearing flip-flops and like shorts and t-shirts, like nothing that's hard to get on. And there was one day when we decided to go night swimming as a family. And they're, you know, she and her sister are just popping around in the pool with their dad. And I'm sitting on the side and they blow the whistle for break. And she goes to try to climb up the ladder and she can't get up. She physically can't, she's no strength, can't hold on, can't get up. And I look at my husband and he looks at me and like the fear in our eyes, like, oh my gosh, what's going on with our daughter? And that was the turning point for me. That was when someone said, wake up, mom, like you got to start figuring this out and fighting for your kid.
Right.
So I reached out to our, and my husband looked at me and he's like, you have to fight for this, figure this out. Like he was scared out of his mind. So I called our pediatrician. I talked to one of the nurses at our pediatrician's office. I explained what we had done. I explained where we were. She's like, we're going to put her on doxy for 2 weeks. Let's see if this will kick whatever it is that's going on. So we're still in this like Lymes. This could potentially be Lymes. So they put us on doxy. I said to her, and this was one of those, like, I don't know why I thought this, but I'm like, her muscles aren't moving. Like she's struggling to even lift a glass. So she's now holding her cups like this because it was the only way she could carry them. She couldn't grip them. She's struggling to go up and down stairs. Like this is not good. It's been a month. So I said to my pediatrician, do you think physical therapy might help? Like, could I get her to physical therapy? Maybe like work on strengthening her muscles and see if that helps. And she's like, well, it certainly won't hurt. So I went to a local physical therapy place that I only knew about because they had done some workshops in the gym that I work out in. So they were fresh in my head. So here's Godwink number one, like had that not happened, had I not been involved in my own personal health story, like I might not have known about this place. So yeah. We show up. And we see like the head person there who doesn't introduce himself as a doctor, but calls himself a nerve specialist and looks at me and is like, you're right. This isn't right. Something's going on here. I've never seen anything like this before, but we're going to see what we can do to start training her muscles. So we started going once a week. At the same time that's happening, I'm now calling neurologists. I'm trying to get into infectious disease doctors at Children's Hospital. Like nothing is stopping me. Who can I reach out to? What can I find? Yeah. It was my mentality. Like pediatrician's given me something. So my next step was neurology. So we got an appointment with a neurologist at Children's. And went there and she ran all these tests. And of course, everything came that she was doing. Which I think is how they take on every child. They do the same tests, came back fine. Like she was fine in terms of she could feel all the vibrations and, you know, all the things. And she looked at me and said, well, at your daughter's age, they start to get in their head a little bit. I think this is a mental game she's playing against you. So I think this is mental. And I looked at this woman. And I'm like, did you see her walk down the hallway? Like this girl can't walk. You tried to get her to run. She said, I can't. Like, what are you talking about? You know? So I left there more angry than I ever have. And in the meantime, we're still doing this.
Under what you needed to be.
Right. Right. And we're still doing physical therapy. And Richard, who was our physical therapist, would meet with us after every appointment. And he was starting to get scared and nervous. And he's like, I've reached out to my colleagues and tried to figure this out. And he's like, I think you need to dig further. So he put me onto infectious diseases. So then now we're like at Children's Hospital in DC, trying to get infectious diseases, trying to get rheumatology. And he said, neuromuscular, it's neuromuscular, not neuro. So I'm trying to get 3 appointments with these. Well, neuromuscular, mind you, it's August. I can't get till the end of October, but I'm like, we'll take it. I couldn't get a hold of rheumatology, and I was able to get into infectious diseases. Now school has started. It's now the end of August. School has started. And we go to the first day of school, and she can't put her backpack on her back. And wow. I'm like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? You know, so it's like think. So I'm reaching out to the office and, you know, her teachers. I send a message to all of her teachers explaining what's going on. Like, she's gonna need help. The office for this, I think she was in 7th grade at the time, was like, don't worry about it. Have her bring her backpack here. She couldn't even open her locker. So I start driving them to school. I help her get her backpack on. She sits in my car with her backpack on, strapped into her seatbelt, because there was no other way to get it there. She can't sit on the floor in PE, so they have a chair for her and a buddy. So now she's standing up.
At what point did she say, I don't want to go to school?
No.
No, wow. I would have said, heck no, I'm not going.
Yeah. So, and at this point, like, she really can't play soccer. So her coach knows what's going on, but he's not sure what it is. Like, any adult I saw, like, the look of concern when they would see her, it was all written all over their face. And so it's literally staring me in the face everywhere I go, you know, and just keep, you know, I just had to keep a vision of her taking the soccer field again as a healthy child. And right. I kept that vision not only in my head, but I kept sharing it with her. I kept sharing it with her because I didn't want her to lose sight of what she loves the most, and that's playing soccer. Mm-hmm. So all the time I just kept talking about that out loud. We're going to find an answer. I'm not going to give up. We've got this, you know, just trying to be positive and not show like my fear to her at all. So what her bestie is, you know, they're walking to class one day and Olivia falls in the hall and can't get up. And she literally had to crawl over to the wall near a window and grab onto the window frame while her friend helped lift her. And after school that day, she went to that friend's house, and I didn't know this happened. And her mom came out and said, Ellen got really scared today when she saw Olivia fall. And I was like, what do you mean she fell? So we had the conversation, and I said, I just feel like I've hit a dead end. Like, I keep trying to reach out to all these doctors and nobody is getting back in touch with me. And she works at a Catholic high school and was like, I'm going to go to school tomorrow and I'm going to look up the patron saint of phone calls. And we're going to pray to the patron saint of phone calls.
Is there one?
Yes. I don't remember what it is, but yes, okay, there's a patron saint of phone calls. So she was on that. And I was just so grateful that she was willing to do that. That evening, I was chatting with my mom on the phone, and my mom said to me, you know, I was sharing this story with my friend Cheryl, who used to be a nurse out at Children's, not in any of the places I need. Like, she worked with kids with cancer. And she's like, she's concerned. And I said, can I have her number? And I don't know what made me say that. Like, it would not be me to reach out to my mom's friend. And she's like, absolutely. So I got her phone number and I called her right after I got off the phone with my mom. And she said, I've been waiting for you to call. And she said, let me sit down at my computer. I want to take notes on this. And she just, from the nurses, she put her nursing hat on.
Right.
And she started asking me all sorts of questions, and she's taking notes and typing. And she's like, Beth, you're right. You got to keep fighting for her. Something's wrong. And she says, I'm going to reach out to my friend, David. David is the head of whatever it was that she did, bone marrow transplants. It was bone marrow transplants for children at Children's Hospital. I'm going to reach out to him and see if he can't get a hold of the rheumatology doctor for you. And let's see if we can't get that appointment. And who knows, maybe he can cast his net out wider and see, you know, see what he can do. And I said, that would be great. So that next morning, I got a text message from my friend who works at PVI, who said, here's the patron saint of phone calls, pray. I'm praying too. And I said, okay. 1 o'clock that afternoon, my phone rang and it said Johns Hopkins Hospital. So I pick it up, was like, hello? Hi, is this Ms. Frazier? Yes, this is Dr. Thomas Crawford. I work in the neuromuscular clinic up at Johns Hopkins. My friend David called me and said your daughter has some things going on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, it's a Friday too, by the way. And he's like, yeah, I'd like to see her. Are you available Monday? I'm like, we are now. So he said, great, be up here by such and such a time. I'll send you the address. You know, we'll see her on Monday. Couldn't believe it. Hang up the phone. Phone rings again. It is the rheumatology doctor at Children's. Oh, I just heard from David. I'm so sorry I never got back to you. Let's set up an appointment for her. So we set that appointment up. So ball's rolling, right? Here we go. I decide, for whatever reason, my mom gut said, I got to go live on Facebook. I need to let other people know what's going on, because at this point we hadn't really shared it with many people. And it was really starting to weigh on me. And I come from a place of, let your prayer circle be as large and as wide as it can be.
Absolutely.
And if people don't know what's going on, how can they help? So right. I go live on Facebook and I start getting message after message after, I think it's this and I think it's that and I think it's this and I think it's that. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll pray. And I felt a little relief when I did that, you know, when I let that go. So Olivia and I take off on Monday for Hopkins and we see Dr. Crawford. Now, to know that you're in the right place from the minute this man walks in to sit with her, I was mind blown. He looks at her and said, anything I do to you, you get to do to me. So she's like, okay. So he's testing her reflexes everywhere with this big hammer. I mean, it's not like your typical tool. And so he would do all of her spots and he's like, here you go. Hit me, you know? So she's whacking him away, you know, watching the reflexes go off. And, you know, he looks into her eye and he tells her exactly what he's looking for. And then he flips it on her and she does the same. So she's instantly connected to this doctor. And he does a lot of the same tests that the neuro doctor did that told us we were crazy, and says to us, I'm pretty sure this is something called CIDP, which stands for chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. And it's an autoimmune disease that attacks the myelin sheath of the nerves in her peripherals, so her arms and her legs. And if it's not taken care of, it will eventually get a lot worse. So we need to do something about this. And you're going to stay today. We're going to do all these tests on her that normally take months to get into. We're going to do it today. Like, okay. Wow. So I think it's like early to mid September at this point, by we're there. So I'm sitting. So now she's going to get nerve conduction tests done. And I think EMGs, and I'm sitting at the end of the hospital bed while the doctor's getting, you know, prepping her for this. And I happen to look down at my phone and a Facebook messenger came in from a good friend of mine who I work out with. And she says to me, I just watched your live. I'm so sorry you're going through everything. And I'm pretty sure your daughter has CIDP because my son had it.
Wow.
And the doctor had said to us, you will never know anybody in your life that has this. It's very rare in children.
Wow.
And I was like, rare in children, huh, doc? A good friend of mine's son had this. So now I've got someone who's gone through this.
Yeah.
Giving me hope. Her son was on the other side of it. And he's a soccer player, playing soccer again and doing all the things that like make life awesome for him.
Right.
And so here we are, we're just getting diagnosed and I'm already like, we've got this. We've got this. We're in the right hands. We've had people all along the way helping us out. And this is going to be amazing. And so, you know, they had to read the test results and get it all approved and stuff. And once it got approved, the protocol was that we were going to spend two nights up at Hopkins while she had her first IVIG treatment, which is intravenous immunoglobulin. They do the same thing with a lot of cancer patients. It's used a lot, but basically it's the immune systems of a lot of healthy people being pumped into her. And the doctor says to me, you probably won't see any results for a few weeks. But you will start to see results. She will start to improve. Well, after her first treatment, she wakes up the next morning and says, Mom, I'm thirsty. You know, can you get me something to drink? So I go get her an apple juice and she grabs the cup and goes like this.
You're like, yay.
with one hand, which she hadn't done in months. And I was like, oh my God.
So I took a picture of the doctor.
So I took a picture of it and I text it to the doctor, and he brings his whole team over because it's a teaching hospital. So now we've got all these doctors in there and they're looking and watching. And so we were starting to see instant results. She had another treatment that night, and by the next morning, she and I decided to go downstairs in the hospital and went outside, and there was a few steps, and she just step.
Wow.
Not holding on to anything all the way up. And so I took a video of her doing it and sent it to the doctor again and was like, I don't know what voodoo magic you just did on my kid, but you know, it still looked awkward, but she was getting better.
Right.
So our journey continued until April 14th, a year ago. We headed up to Hopkins just about every week so she could get retested. And they were basically testing her strength and her muscle ability. And when it would start to decline, they would hit her with another IVIG treatment. And then those IVIG treatments spread out until finally she didn't need them anymore because she was in what they call remission. And, you know, she's 15. Oh, and the best part of that is the vision I had in my head, which I shared with her all the time, about her taking the soccer field, happened almost exactly like the day, the uniform she was wearing. She took that field and the entire sidelines of parents who'd been through that journey with us cheered so loud for her. And she only played 10 minutes of that game, but she took that field.
Yeah.
And she did it. And it was like, it was hope. Yeah. It was hope in those 10 minutes for the future she was going to have. And it was just amazing to see. And, you know, she really didn't get much out of that soccer season. So she lost almost an entire season of soccer, you know, from the time she was sick until, you know, the end of spring. But my 15-year-old daughter tried out for the cross country team in the summer for her high school team. And not only did she make it, but she continued to improve her time by 6 minutes over the course of the season. She then tried out for the basketball team, made the freshman team, played almost every minute of every game, and won the coach's award. And she's now on the JV soccer team at her high school, and the entire time has continued to play club soccer. So to say that she is a pretty amazing creature.
That's amazing. So many good lessons in there. And I took lots of notes. I didn't want to interrupt your story, but oh my gosh, so many things. And I think that is where my heart is all the things you just shared. Like, we got to fight for what we want. We can't take no. We got to be courageous. You got to believe that gut. And so many things like that you don't know what in your previous life is going to be those things that are going to propel you. So I know you have a business and it's a direct selling business.
Yep.
And the personal growth that you receive is amazing. And the stick-to-itiveness, the visioning, the vision casting. So all the things that you are doing are so in line with probably what you learned with that business.
150%. Yes, the fact that I had all of that.
Yeah, and you know, most people start those to make money and grow businesses, and you and I have both been successful, but a lot of people aren't. But there's so many other things you get being around like-minded people that have visions and goals, and I think that is where my heart has been. Like, there's like, we need to surround ourselves with those people that are people and that give us that vision and hope. And you just never know, you know, when you start something, what tools you're going to get in your tool belt that are going to help you.
So true.
Thing.
Yes.
And then, you know, talking about just the hope, being able to give your daughter hope and just the little things. The God winks and we just get those signs and winks. And it's the starfish. I gave a starfish necklace to one of my podcast guests that was my lunch speaker, and she said the other day, we talked, she goes, everywhere I look, I see stars.
I love it.
And it's just the alignment. And I think somebody said this to me, that when we are, when you get those God winks and those things line up and those weird coincidences, it's because you're aligned with your values and doing what you love and listening and paying attention. I love the patron saying a phone call. I'm going to have to find that out. And that you're willing and courageous to tell your story out, to share it with others. And I think social media can be one of those scary things. We're going to put all our good, wonderful things out there, but not we're going to share real life. And you just never know who else, just like you, you know, has been there. And that mom was able to give you hope. And hopefully this podcast, I hope nobody else is going through what you've gone through, but it gives mothers hope. I know several mothers who, unfortunately, kids have had cancer. And the mom went to the doctor and like, oh, it's nothing. And they're like, no, it is something. And they fought. And you have to. And all the people helping you along the way. I love those stories.
Yes.
And, you know, the tests, having them do those tests, like today. Why not today?
That's
like,
right.
They weren't going to wait, and you weren't going to let them. And
that's
that's a why not today story. And then choose better that fast. And oh my gosh, I do love Hopkins. They are above and beyond.
So amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, the crazy thing, I think my daughter wants to go into medicine as a result because of her experience.
I was watching some TV show last night, it's Grey's Anatomy. And one of the doctors said his parents wanted him to be a doctor and he didn't want to until he was in a critical car accident. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
So many stories of that. So, we could go on, and I love your story, and you might need to be a guest for my lunch too, because just such a powerful story.
I just got to get in town for when you're doing
it. My lunch. What a powerful story that people need to hear. And you know, whether it's your kid or your parent or you, you know, we know when our body's off, and we know when something doesn't feel right, mm-hmm. and we know when we watch our parents or friends or, you know, you just see something. We need to say things and pay attention and not just say, oh, no big deal. Like, we really need to pay attention to this. So how would you encourage somebody else?
You know, I think there's a couple of things is, you know, keeping a vision in your head of what you want to see. You know, I think it's important that you don't lose that hope. And some, for me, not losing that hope came in two forms. It was daily gratitude journaling, which I do every morning. I write down three things that I'm grateful for. And it could be something as simple as there's finally leaves on the trees outside again. You know,
I do that every morning as well.
That's right. It could be nobody complained about dinner last night. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But picturing in your head and manifesting what it is you want to see, because doing that keeps your fight. It keeps you able to keep going.
Right.
I truly believe in, you know, keeping in the positive, trying to find the positives in things. Because the minute we start going down, your mind is a powerful thing. And when you fill it with positive thoughts, more positive happens. When you fill it with negative thoughts, more negative thoughts happen. So why would we want to fill it with the woe is me's, you know?
And that's unfortunately where we go to first.
Right.
And that's survival.
Yep. And I didn't want that to happen to Olivia. I didn't want her going down the woe is me path. I wanted her to stay positive and know that like she was going to take the soccer field again and she was going to, you know, so that's how I chose to speak out loud.
Yeah. So. Love that. So many powerful lessons. So right before we came on, you said, I have a question, which everybody asked, like one of the questions I put in the prep work for the podcast is how you know my dad.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know your dad. And so I always try to find connections. And Beth, I took so many notes of connections of my dad. First of all, the Catholic Paul VI story, my brothers went to school there. So,
oh my gosh.
So my dad was fighting for him to get there. My dad was our soccer coach. He had no idea. I mean, when we were kids, soccer was just coming on. He learned how to do it, him and a couple friends. And funny, I actually had lunch with a friend of mine in Nashville a couple weeks ago that played soccer with me. And just had so much respect for my dad as her soccer coach.
Oh, I love that.
Fight for your kid. Like my youngest sister has Down syndrome. My dad was going to fight for her from day one. And they were going to put her in, take her to a special school. My dad's like, nope, she's going to a school in our town, and fought for it and constantly. It's always who you know.
Uh-huh.
And ask. That was one lesson he always taught me, is ask. The worst thing somebody can say is no.
That's right.
Be grateful.
Yeah.
He was always very grateful, finding the positive. People would ask him, and he had lots of health issues the last 13 years of his life.
Yeah.
People would say, how are you? And he's like, I'm on this side of the grass. I'm still alive. And of course, we spent time at Johns Hopkins with him. So there's that connection.
Oh.
And they were amazing. Just even as the daughter of the patient, like mm-hmm. they took care of me. So,
yes.
So many cool connections.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I have no idea all those connections. So
that's,
you know, and you know, you never know who you're going to meet. Talking about going back to that starfish, like we met years ago and
yep.
had no idea. And
no
so questions you just shared, now I have in my tool belt.
Yes.
And it's interesting with this podcast, I've heard so many people's stories that as I'm meeting people, I can share people's stories. I'm like, oh, and I'm always quoting guests from the podcast. I'm like, oh, this person did this and you can do that and you should meet them. Kind of a fun connection. So
that's fantastic.
Well, you could go on and on forever, but thank you for being my guest and thank you for sharing Olivia's story. And I can't wait to just hear all the amazing things she does as she grows up, because she had to fight those obstacles. She's going to be destined for greatness,
that's
no
right.
doubt.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So, well, thank you everybody for joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dreams, and make a difference. So why not today? Subscribe, share, and keep pushing forward. And until next time, stay motivated and keep making things happen as you say, why not today? So thanks, Beth.
Thank you so much.
Oops, somehow I have to stop the recording. All right, bye everybody.